Heyo, and welcome to Live to Grass. I'm Brian Naylor, and I'm joined on the other line by Mike Rifo. On today's pod, we're going to be getting into the Week 10 NFL slate. What's up, dude?
Not much. It's been raining all day, so I've been cooped up in my basement and been going over my notes, so I'm feeling good.
All right, man. Let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. So the Thursday night game is going to be the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. The line here is Indianapolis by -1. So I'm going to be taking Indianapolis in this spot. They have the number 2 DVOA defense against the rush. So I think Henry's going to have a tough time. And Tennessee is still allowing 55.4% conversion rate on their third down. So I think Indy's going to be able to keep some drives alive. So I like Indy in this spot. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned it, but this is going to be a best bet for you, and it's also going to be a best bet for me. I'm just on the other side with Tennessee. I like Tennessee in this spot. They're coming off a convincing win against the Bears. I think Indy's a lot like the Bears. They're passing offense. Indy's only averaging 23 more yards through the air than the Bears, and I've talked about it before, but to beat Tennessee, you need to pass on them. So I just don't think Rivers is doing a good enough job to actually beat this this Tennessee team, who is definitely not a great passing defense. Both teams, the Bears and Indianapolis, are third down efficiency, both rank in the bottom 10 in the NFL. So if they can't keep drives going, then Tennessee gets the ball, and that's when Henry, I think, does his worst. And then QB play, I just think that, you know, Foles and Rivers are actually kind of the same thing, far as the season. QBR, Foles is at 83.8, Rivers is 91.9, and they both have 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So I think Indy, again, I keep saying it, I'm probably a broken record at this point, but Indy's benefited from their schedule this entire season. 5 wins, one has come against a team with a winning record. It's 3 losses, 2 against teams with winning records. And what is Tennessee? They're 6-2. So Tennessee also at home Thursday night. I think it's like 4-1 in Thursday. Oh, I'm sorry. They're 4-1 at home this season, and they got the Thursday night game. And you always like the home team for a Thursday night game. So I like Tennessee. Best bet.
All right. On to the next game, we have the Houston Texans at the Cleveland Browns. So this line is the Browns by 3.5. I'm taking Cleveland here, and they are a best bet for me. And it looks like Mike's taking Cleveland as well. Browns are coming off a bye. Nick Chubb is expected to return. Texans this year have only beaten one team. They've beaten them twice, and that's the Jags. They're 0-6 against everybody else. Texans are 1-7 at the spread. And the Browns, the difference between last year and this year is Browns have been taking care of business against bad teams. 5 of their wins have come against teams that are 11-21-1. And just to give you a framing for Chubb's return, the first 4 games this year with Chubb, they averaged 205 rushing yards per game. Without Chubb, they went down to 95.5. So I think they're going to be able to control the pace of this game. It's also supposed to rain in Cleveland on Sunday, so I'm actually going to be, for a part of a long shot, I'm going to be taking the under for them. But yeah, I like Cleveland in this spot.
I'm just reading something now because, I would have felt 10 times better with this and made it a best bet if I knew for a fact Chubb was happening. But just today, it sounds like he's not even sure himself, saying that still a lot up in the air. Because I agree with you. I think the run game is the key here. And I think Chubb getting him back would be huge. I mean, you basically hit all my points that I said. I don't know if you'd mentioned Houston is 31st in rushing on the season. So if weather is an issue, it's gonna be a problem for Houston moving the ball as well. I will say I thought Watson would be a little bit rough as far as outdoors, but he really hasn't struggled being outdoors. 283 yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions on games that are outside. So I'm with you. I would have made it a best bet if Chubb was playing, just because I think that he makes that team that much stronger. I'm on Cleveland still, but I'm just keeping it as a straight pick and not a best bet.
On to the next game, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are favored by 2.5 in this spot. this game, I'm not gonna bury anybody in statistics. This game, I have a feeling it's just gonna go Chargers' way. That they've had five straight weeks of really bad luck. Last week they dropped a touchdown in the end zone that would have won the game, and the four previous weeks they had given up 16 point leads and lost all those games. And then you're looking at Miami, they're kind of the other side of the coin. They've had three special teams and defensive touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, and Tua is still kind of just getting his feet wet. I have a feeling here the Chargers are going to come to play, so I'm taking the Chargers in this spot. It's kind of a gut play.
Yeah, you had mentioned Tua. I mean, I think I'm still not sure about Tua. I mean, and I think this week, even if he does well or doesn't play well, I'm still going to have a question mark right next to his name. I mean, the first week he played great. Didn't play great, but it was a great Rams pass defense, torches an Arizona defense that's a less than stellar pass defense. So it's still a lot remains. They play a middle of a pack pass defense in the Chargers, a little bit better as of late on the passing side. So we'll see. And then you mentioned Miami's defense. I said last week that they don't play against, well, really good quarterbacks. Two of their three losses have come against teams that have QBs that are rated in the top 10 in QBR. And where's Herbert? He's number 9. So wanted to pick the Chargers as a best bet. I'm actually going to have them as a long shot. Yeah, I like Herbert in this because he's just has a little bit more of a little bit more of a record that you can say, okay, I'd rather go in with him than Tua at this point. And then lastly, Herbert has actually covered well when he's an underdog. I believe he's 3-1 this season as an underdog, covering 3 out of 1. So I'll take the Chargers on this one.
On to the next game, we have the Buffalo Bills at the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are favored by 2 in this spot, and both of us have Arizona. So the Bills are 1-3 at the spread away this year. I think this Arizona game is going to be a lot different than the game last week against Seattle. Arizona's pass defense is 11, so Buffalo's game plan going into last week against Seattle was just to pass all day long against their horrid pass defense. Unfortunately, Buffalo's rush defense is ranked 22nd in DVOA, and Arizona's rush offense is 4th overall. So I have a feeling that Kyler Murray is going to run all over the place in this game, and I like Arizona in this spot.
Yeah, this is another hard game to pick. I just call it a game of edges in this one. Going with Arizona, I think QB play a little bit better on Arizona's side. I mean, it's not a whole lot to separate the two for the season, but the overall play that you have to give Murray an edge, especially in the last 3 games. He's been more on point passing TDs. He has 8 to Josh Allen's 3, and average QB rating 116 to Murray, 98 for Josh Allen. So again, it's not a lot, but it's a slight edge. You had mentioned the Buffalo defense to Arizona's rush offense. I think that's key too. Again, not huge edge, but it's a little bit. So yeah, I like Murray running all over these guys, because I don't think the Bills have had too much success against mobile quarterbacks. So picking Arizona.
All right, on to the next game, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams. In this spot, we have the Rams favored by 2. And we're both going with Seattle, and Seattle is a best bet for Mike. I'm going with Seattle here as a gut play. The Seahawks don't lose back-to-back games. This is an in-division rival. I think they're going to come ready to play. I think they got surprised by Buffalo last week, so this is a gut play. I like Seattle.
Yeah, best bet for me. You know, again, the Rams haven't beaten anyone except the NFC East and the Chicago Bears. So until they actually play a team and beat a team that's worth anything, and they're getting points here, don't quite understand that. I think that's it's just a huge variance because of the Buffalo loss. And no one's talking about that. Seattle had to go there on a 1 o'clock game. You know how I feel about that. So Seattle only loses to what it looks like teams with good quarterbacks. Seattle's 3-2 against teams that have a QB quarterback in the top half of QBR. In the bottom half, they're 3-0 against those teams. And Jared Goff, he ranks 20th. So I like Seattle, and I could go on a tangent of reasons why, but I'll keep it short and simple and take Seattle +2.
All right, on to the next game. We have the San Francisco 49ers at the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are favored by 9.5 in this spot. We're both going with the Saints, and the Saints are a best bet for Mike. For me, I still think this is, for me, this is still such an injury play for the Niners. Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman are expected to miss this game. Deebo Samuel was held out of practice today. They're still hoping that he's going to be back. Obviously, Kittle is out for the season. I still just think this team is too banged up, so I don't really trust him here. I think that you have a risk with New Orleans of a little bit of a letdown game after Monday night, and it is a shorter week for them. But I'm still going New Orleans here. It doesn't feel good to. There seems to be no value on the San Francisco side of this number. What do you got?
I mean, if someone could tell me how San Francisco is going to stop New Orleans or score New Orleans, I'll listen. I'm not going to go into much of that just because I looked through numerous things and I can't see anything. Injuries obviously are the biggest key factor on this one. I'm shocked it's below 10, and it was 9.5, and now that it's 9, I'm liking it even more. So, and New Orleans just dismantled a good Tampa Bay defense. But if you look how they did that, they put in schemes that unless they've been doing it for a lot longer. I mean, Hill, I know, has been more part of their offense a little bit more here and there, but they were doing things where they had Breeze all the way out to the side. So you got to keep your eye on him, but then Hill just runs up the middle for like a 5-6 yard gain. It's just, it'll be really interesting to see how this team actually evolves in the next few weeks and then in the playoffs. But, and one last thing, I mean, San Francisco just gave up 305 yards, 4 touchdowns to a Green Bay team. Granted, it's Aaron Rodgers, but then they also allowed 111 rushing yards. And that was home against Green Bay. So they're going to New Orleans. It is an afternoon game. I like New Orleans to cover the 9 pretty easily.
All right, on to the next game, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers. This line is currently Tampa Bay -5 on the road. I'm going with Tampa Bay in this spot. I like it as a best bet. I think they're going to bounce back from Monday's debacle. No McCaffrey this week for Carolina. So I thought he looked great in his return. I think this Carolina team is a very competitive team when he's on the field. I think they're feisty without him, but I just feel like there's too much kind of on the line for Tampa Bay here for them to have a letdown. So I'm going to be going with Tampa Bay here. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm on Carolina. These two teams met back in week 2. Tampa Bay won 31-17. Biggest takeaway from that game was the turnovers. Carolina had 5 of them in that game. Carolina seems to have cleaned it up since then. They're top 10 in giveaways this season. And in the last 3, they're top 3 of giving away the football. So they're finally taking care of the ball after that 5 turnover game. Another thing, Carolina allowed 5 sacks that game. They're only averaging now 2. A game for the season. And then also Tampa Bay is averaging 1 less sack on the season the last 3 games. So teams are finally understanding that Tampa Bay loves to blitz. So they're kind of scheming to kind of go around that. The first time out, Carolina was down 21-0 at the half with 3 turnovers. I don't think that's going to happen again. And I'm not a firm believer on this Tampa Bay offense. Passing yards are 16th. On the season, rushing yards, they're 30th. Tom Brady, 1-3 against teams ranked in the top half of passing defenses. At the beginning of the week, it was 6.5. So it does look like some money's going in on the Carolina side at this point.
All right, on to the next game, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Green Bay Packers. So right now, this line is Green Bay -12.5. I'm on Green Bay. Mike is on Jacksonville. There's a lot of interesting angles here. I came across some weather related stats for Jacksonville just because obviously they play in pretty ideal weather year round. So the last 10 games under 55 degrees, they're 0-10 straight up, and they're 0-9-1 at the spread. And it is projected to be about 35 with rain and 25 mile per hour winds in Green Bay on Sunday. So not that I'm weighing too much into that. I just think Green Bay has got this one. And also, at some point in time, Jacksonville is going to start having conversations about what they're trying to do this year. They're not set at the quarterback position. At some point in time, they could just be starting to bag for Lawrence. So
he said rain looks to be a little bit of a factor. And overall, I just think this is a bad spot for Green Bay. 12.5 points. The only team I really feel that confident in that big of a spread, KC. So I think 12.5 is a lot of points. And if weather is a factor, that doesn't mean that Rodgers is going to be as effective as he normally is. So I like Jacksonville just because I think it's just too many points at this point.
The next game on the docket would have been the Washington football team at the Detroit Lions. There hasn't been a line on this game all week. We just saw a line about 5 minutes ago, so we haven't been able to prepare. So it's Detroit -4, but we're not going to pick the game. On to the next game, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. The line here is Philly -3.5 on the road. I'm going with the Giants here. Mike is going with Philadelphia. This is just kind of a gut play for me for the Giants. The Giants have played very competitive, and if you're giving 3.5 to Philly on the road, that means in a neutral site that they'd be favoring Philly by 6. I don't really see that at all. I think this is a coin toss. So I'm going to be going Giants.
Yeah, their first meeting of the season was on a Thursday night in Philly. Eagles won 22-21. Giants allowed the Eagles to score 2 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes to win that game. Pretty heartbreaking for the Giants. And Eagles lost both Jackson and Ertz in that game. So kind of like Philly in the spot. They're coming off a bye. Last matchup, they had +100 more total yards, 10 more first downs, and 150 more passing yards in a game where they lose Jackson and Ertz. They were 3-8 in the red zone in that game. And Philly is 64% in the red zone scoring touchdowns. So they should score a few more points in this game if they're up to their standards for the season. Also, Daniel Jones in that game had 1 rushing yard for 80 yards. Other than that, Philly held the Giants to 80 yards rushing that entire game. So they should be getting Alshon Jeffrey back, Miles Sanders back. I think those are 2 huge weapons for Philly to take advantage of, having a week off, and they know how important this game is to have. So I like Philly to win this game by a good amount.
On to the next game, we have the Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders are favored by 4.5 in this spot at home, and I like the home team. I'm going Raiders. Mike is going Denver. The Raiders have won 3 out of the last 4 games and currently have the 8th best passing offense in the NFL. I think they're going to be able to throw it around a little bit on Denver, and I like the Raiders here in a divisional game.
The Raiders do have a good passing offense. I agree with you. Offense in general, I think the running is getting a little bit better. Taking Denver here because Raiders are giving up 28 points a game for the season. If you take out that windy Cleveland game, they're giving up 32 points a game. So I think I can't believe that this team is winning this many games, giving up that many points. It's kind of crazy. Denver's red zone defense, though, is another key factor here, I think. They're 2nd in the league in giving up TDs once the opponents are in the red zone. Vegas, 21st in red zone TD scoring. And in the last 3 games, they're 27th. So I think Vegas is actually going to have a tough time. They could be moving the ball, but I think they're going to have a tougher time getting it into the actual end zone. So, and I think the divisional games, for the most part, you know, they're always usually a little bit more competitive, and opponents know each other a little bit more. So I like Denver and the points on this one.
All right, on to the next game. We have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This line has been all over the place. If you've been on DraftKings, you can get it at 8. If you've been on FanDuel, it's as low as 6.5. I'm going to be taking Cincinnati in this spot simply to hedge against some of the uncertainty. So Ben Roethlisberger is currently in the COVID-19 protocol, along with Vance McDonald, Vince Williams, Jalen Samuels, and Jared Hawkins. I also know that he had 2 knee injuries in the Dallas game last week, on top of not being able to practice for the majority of this week. So I'm just going to err on the side of certainty and just go with Cincinnati here and just put my trust in Joe Burrow's coming in off a bye week. What do you got?
Yeah. So looking into the COVID thing with Roethlisberger, he has tested negative and he's been placed on the COVID list because of close contacts. So unless he actually gets hit up with a positive test, most likely should be playing. The knees are, I can understand being an issue, but he still came back in that Dallas game and won that game. I think he threw 2 touchdowns in the 4th quarter. So, you know, before the Dallas game, this line was 10. people are making a big deal that Pittsburgh should have crushed Dallas, and that's why this line's at 6.5. But I mean, this is a clear cut definition of an overlooked game for a Pittsburgh team. They had played two road games. This would have been their third in Dallas against a team that's crap. And one of those teams that they had played before were the Ravens in division teams. So banged up a little bit here and there, but they're now coming home after three straight games on the road. They're 10-0 against the Cincy team that they're going to be playing with an average winning margin of 12.5 when they're the home side of this game. So it doesn't look good for Cincy to just even win or even come close to the 6.5, in my opinion. I understand Cincy's coming off a bye, but they don't fare well against top defenses this season. Cincy's 30th in giving up sacks, and Pittsburgh's number one in sacks this season. So they'll get to Burrow and make his life shit for a Sunday afternoon.
On to the next game. We have the Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. Baltimore is favored by 7 on the road here, and I'm going to be taking Baltimore. Baltimore has the best run defense in the NFL, according to DVOA, and the Patriots severely struggle if they can't move the ball on the ground. Cam is a running quarterback, and you've pointed out in the past that if he can't get into a rhythm with his rushing and he's relied on just a throw, that it's a bad situation for New England. So I like Baltimore a lot in this spot. What do you got?
Not much more. I mean, I'm on Baltimore's side. New England just barely beat a Jets team Monday night, so they're already at a disadvantage there. But it does seem like, I don't know. I feel like Cam is like that too. He just will forget about how this entire season's been going and will only look at beating a Jets team. I mean, New England just doesn't have any kind of pass offense whatsoever. They don't have any deep threat. I think Baltimore is just going to destroy them. I really think this might be a bloodbath, and you can go to bed early Sunday night, because this game's going to get out of hand and maybe out of reach after the first half. So, like Baltimore here.
All right, on to the last game of the slate. We have the Monday night game. We have the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. Minnesota is favored by 2.5 here on the road in Chicago. I'm going to be going with Chicago, and Mike is going to be taking Minnesota's side. Cousins is 0-9 in his career on Monday night games, and Chicago has the 7th best rush DVOA. So I think they'll have an opportunity at slowing down Dalvin Cook. So Cook has blown up the last 2 weeks playing Green Bay and Detroit, but they were the 20th and 25th best defenses. So there's a big step up Monday night, cold Chicago. I think Chicago is going to be able to contain them and keep it close and win this game.
Yeah, this for me is just kind of a gut feeling. I like Minnesota. I think they're just a better team on both sides of the ball. You know, Kirk Cousins, that may be true on Monday nights or in prime time, he just doesn't play well. But they have Nick Foles on the other side, so I don't know. I like Minnesota. This is a gut play. Nah, I mean, I don't really care about this game. Even though it is a primetime Monday night game, it's against two teams where I could really just no interest whatsoever on. They're not going to do anything if they were to even get to the playoffs. So, Minnesota.
All right, that's all we have for this week. If you like what you heard, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you hate what you heard, let us know by emailing us at livetograsp@gmail.com. That's all I got.
Take it easy.